listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, June 17th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, I'm very glad to be here.
So glad to have you here. And thanks to those that join us live, and a shout out to those that take the time to catch up with us from our archive. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And in addition to this program, you can find other educational programs at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. And we're going to start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Dr. Vicki, I think we're going to have a fun chat tonight. It's going to be a little bit of an open conversation, so shout out to those of us in the live chat. If you got anything on your mind, you know, put it in the chat. But
absolutely. Well, I noticed if we can start off with this, Dr. Jeff gave me an update. He had a couple of more stents put in his heart, and anyway, he's doing really well.
Good.
So that should be the last of that, and getting his cataracts done, and a few things more, tests on his eyes. He's coming along, so hey, shout out to you, Jeff, and thanks for the update. You know, we go back a long way with the school, and and Shauna make such a good team. They make great videos now, and, you know, I'm glad to keep up with some folks, so he's doing well. So we can start there.
Well, that is a good start, and thanks for sharing that. Shout out to Dr. Jeff. And just everybody send them your well wishes. I'm so glad that you came through it well, and it's, you know, looking so the prognosis is good. These are great things to start our broadcast on. So I love that energy.
And for those who don't know, you can find him on Blind Outdoorsman social media. So
that's right.
We have to give a shout out.
You got to give a shout out.
Yeah, we're going to start taking some names for cards as well as having chats. And first thing I'd like to start talking about is I saw Disclosure Day on Sunday. My son-in-law and I went, got the early show on Sunday, 11:30 in the morning to beat the rush after all, you know, the kids come. Mm-hmm. And 9 people in the theater. I loved it. Got my popcorn, my pop, I'm going to say I loved it. Off the top, you guys. So let's just get that out of the way. There's a lot of comments flying around the internet about people were disappointed because I guess they expected an alien invasion, or how come they didn't talk more about who's making money off reverse engineering. You know, there's a lot of that going and around, but
just
go ahead.
I want to stress the most important thing about tonight's discussion is no spoilers. All right.
Say what?
No spoilers.
No, I'm not going to spoil it. Wendy's saying she was going to go see it on opening night but didn't get to go. I recommend it. Now, you know, it's got a classic good group wants disclosure, bad group trying to keep it all secret. That's a given. You know, so the acting, Emily Blunt, is phenomenal. Like, phenomenal. All the acting, the editing, the everything is great. A couple of things you kind of question, you know, a bit of animation that you say, huh. But I think it was done that way purposely, not with AI kind of, well, maybe. Mm-hmm. But covers a lot of ground. Telepathy, remote viewing, you know, it's just really good. And so I guess Steven Spielberg spent 10 years working on this.
Wow.
And the nuances, I will say they do some, he does insert some historical footage, video. And having watched, you know, after a great number of years, some of the footage that's come out of Area 51 or, you know, back with 1947 crash, New Mexico. He's used some of that footage. And so I know that, well, he didn't make that up. That's footage from. So it's threaded in there. So there's several layers that go throughout this movie. But the guy, he did his research. And from the interviews that I've seen Spielberg in, he is an absolute believer. Absolute.
Well, he's been doing
from
this
all
for
the
a long
research
time.
He's done. Yeah. And, of course, Avatar. Man, that was something else. Never mind, go all the way back to E.T.
Avatar, that was James Cameron.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, although he did have E.T., he had Close Encounters of the
Fifth
Kind. Although I actually asked my father, the elder Dr. Kelly, about that one. I couldn't quite remember that one. But yeah, he did that. E.T., War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
Other stuff. I probably shouldn't be doing that in the mic. But anyway, yeah. We should actually just turn this into a movie review and tie it into cultural awareness about, you know, how we experience life. Because I'm about to lay down my review on Mandalorian and Grogu. But I digress. And it's interesting.
No, actually, one review on Disclosure Day, and the guy gave away the plot. And oh man, I didn't need to hear that, but didn't stop me from going. And I thought, man, he did not give a good description.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Also, it's Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Shout out to Dr. Donna for that. Yeah, I try to avoid things about movies and things like that. But since we're talking about Disclosure Day, and this is something that I kind of feel like everybody that's listening to this has already heard of. The notion that cultural figures and, you know, creators like Steven Spielberg are tapped to leak information over time through cultural, you know, movies like Men in Black. We've talked about this before. I think Michael Bay went the opposite direction. I don't think he got the memo. I think they're trying to get everybody to be cool with aliens, with things like Arrival and stuff, and he had contact with Jodie Foster. Mm-hmm. And then Michael Bay comes along with Independence Day. And just, you know, sets
it
clock back.
A conspiracy theory going around that Spielberg is in on this other government disclosure thing, and he timed the release of this to all the other, you know, it's just so ridiculous. I thought it's, you know, trying to lump everybody into at least people who are filmmakers and stuff, mm-hmm. put them all into that Hollywood government group. I just shake my head. So, you know, when you hear that stuff, people, use some discretion, you know, filter it. Just go and enjoy the movie and kind of put it into what you may already have read about, know about, your experiences and you know, just never mind all that other noise, because that's all it is, people talking. So I just had to say that. Yeah, she says acclimate. Audra's saying acclimate is to the idea, and some think it's to distract. You know, a movie's a movie that came out at that particular time. The guy's been working on it for 10 years. I don't know what to say. Could he have done it in 5? I don't know. Maybe he could have waited and put it out in another 5. I don't know. Like, I don't think that matters, to be honest. You know, distract us, acclimate us, or whatever. Look, well, in this group, because we're metaphysicians, you know, we're accustomed to the notion of not being alone in this universe, let alone the planet.
Right.
So this is not new for folks like us. There happens to be simultaneously, I think, more and more people talking, more kind of accepting, more people who are curious. And I think there might be a little bit of that hoping for rescuers, you know, where some people say, oh, please bring the aliens. I think it was bound to, as we have more people awakening to the notion of advanced technologies, metaphysics, philosophy, you know, and I think that there's a natural kind of coming to a head, you know, and I think if anything, it's probably if they're acclimating us, it's probably the best way. Otherwise, the whole world goes into shock and there we go.
Yeah, I mean, it is true, and it probably is a good way to do it. I've always agreed with the idea, but honestly, when I really think about it, I wonder what side would I be on. If you did know this and you just know humanity, would you just tell everybody? I mean, part of me thinks I would, but part of me thinks, maybe this is, you know, the absolute right way to do it. It's a seismic thing, and I think we're getting to the point where we absolutely can't handle it. I think that society globally, you know, we are becoming a global society. We have been for hundreds and hundreds of years. We forget how long things are going, how long these trends are going in humanity, because we have such a small little slice of the picture, right? We have our lives that we live, you know, a century, you know, often less. And the things that we've seen, the ways in which human beings have changed fundamentally the way they think and the way they work with one another over the last several hundred years. We're much more complex societies, much bigger societies, interconnected, globalized, a globalized culture. The world has shrunk and grown at the same time. And we are a more complicated and complex people. I think that globally, as a species, we are more... we're more ready now than ever to accept it. And even then, I still think there will be mass chaos. But because right now, people in the know, they know, right?
Yeah.
But what people online often call normies, the people that aren't interested in the subject that you're talking about, you know, they're not aware of it. You know, to them, it's still just science fiction, and it's a maybe, and, you know, they still, you know, we live in a world of billions of people still following, you know, religious beliefs that span the spectrum. And it is going to hit each of those people differently. You know, it's going to be an interesting thing, though. I will say that. It is, I hope that if this is true, and I believe that we absolutely could have been in contact with us, and we have some kind of disclosure of reality. And I think that, while increasingly less likely, it is still possible that advanced alien life hasn't visited us and we have some other explanations for the things that we're seeing. Because life is weird, and there's always weird stuff that goes on in the sense of, you know, is it aliens? Is it interdimensional things from across the dimensional plane? I don't know. I mean, that's the whole point is, you know, we don't know. And so you have to keep your mind open to whatever the evidence tells you. So it's interesting that we're talking about this, considering we were talking about how fiction and literature and creativity and art were are useful tools, and that is exactly what we're talking about. You went and saw Disclosure Day. It is influencing the masses, I think, to better accept the idea of extraterrestrial life. I don't see the purpose of it being a distraction because it's not effective. What it is effective at doing is humanizing the idea of extraterrestrial life. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I would guess. I have seen Arrival. I've seen E.T. Everything Spielberg does, with the exception of World of Worlds, is in a lot of ways humanizing aliens. A lot of cultural projects have humanized aliens. Superman is arguably the biggest cultural powerhouse in the world right now. Big old alien. You know what I mean? So
I know.
It's there's a logic to it, but
you know, Donna is saying in the chat there's an episode of Tracker a couple of weeks ago on remote viewing. I love that show, and I have not caught up on this season. I'm going to do it, Donna, because if nobody knows what the Tracker is, you got to go. This guy is brilliant in finding people, and it's really interesting. Great characters. Wendy is saying the best new conspiracy theory is Project Anchor. I have not heard of that, Michael.
That's good.
Get Wendy back.
We should get Wendy back, absolutely. It is that time of the year. We're approaching the close of June, which is completed 6 months. So I reckon sometime in July. I don't know. We have to contact our people that are in her neck of the woods that we used to threaten her to join us. Like, you can't tell, but you know, just off mic, there's just people, like, you know, hitting baseball bats into their palms just to make sure she doesn't try to split and she has to join us on air. But
Wendy's asking what channel Tracker's on. I don't know. I'm in Canada. It's on Crave. So I'm sure you could just Google and find out.
This is the first time hearing that they allow TV in Canada. I had no idea. But I will say, if we're talking about things like this, and we got some people, actually, that have thrown in for cards, too, I think. But
if you got the name, well, that's good. I see Audra.
I see Audra. I don't know if I missed anybody, but we talked about this before. But I'm still been watching Sequest, right? And so the one
Donna's
I watched.
Donna's saying CBS, but it might be NBC. So
gotcha.
There you go.
I was watching Sequest, and they have an episode where the boat comes across a giant, massive alien spaceship that's half embedded in, you know, foundational sediment a million years old, right? And it's just a fascinating episode in the sense of, you know, kind of how they deal with it. They have one of the crew members was always brought up Catholic in Catholic school, and, you know, he was talking about how this deals with his beliefs and da-da-da-da-da, which, again, just goes to show you this has been going on for a very long time. And, of course, I think they... Well, I don't know if Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, stole it from anybody else, but the whole whales, aliens communicating with whales, because they pulled one of those, and the aliens, you know, communicated with the dolphin, right? So, but again, it's this same idea of, you know, aliens in fiction just keep popping up to humanize them and to make them seem sympathetic, which really points out the real truth is they all are here to harvest our organs. And we need to be hyper-vigilant against this alien threat. I'm kidding, especially for legal purposes. I'm very kidding, but especially kidding in real.
So Marianne is asking, I have not seen the new Star Wars movie. Have you, Michael?
I have. Seen it twice, actually.
Your critique, she'd love to hear.
My critique is it's like kind of, in my opinion, what Star Wars is supposed to be, which is just a fun, classic, you know, adventure movie. This one is a little bit less of the overarching, you know, space opera, good of evil. It's more of like it's more local scale, you know, it's about these characters and their, you know, localized adventure, but it's fun and, it's great points. First time I saw it was in a theater where they project all around you. So it's not the full, you know, sphere that people will see. It's just you have the screen in front of you and then two rectangular panels of screen going to the sides. So it's kind of like you're in a, you know, wraparound theater. And it's kind of a cool effect. But then I saw it another time just to catch it with some other folks. And, no, it was very good. Good watch, entertaining. If you enjoyed the TV show, then you're going to love this. And they're trying to make you love an alien, Baby Yoda, see? That's how they get you.
I happen to come across a Star Trek Picard episode the other day where he and three other crew members had were trying to get beamed back, and they got caught in this whatever, burned the ship up, and they got turned into little kids.
Yeah, I remember that one.
You know, and I thought, oh man, I love this show. Audra's poking at Canada in the chat. What do you think all the moose are doing up there? Antenna for TV.
That was at my comment about y'all not having TV. What with the frozen ice storms and things you suffer. But you do have better health care. Anywho, moving on. We do actually, speaking of Audra, have a card for Audra. So since we're kind of doing a little of a mix and match conversation tonight, Audra, I'm going to pull for you. The first one I got is 42. That's trust integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles. It's soundness of moral character and it's honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, are the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
Queen of Wands. I love that with integrity, Audra. Queen of Clubs is the overseer, kind of the mother figure, the matriarch, insight, wisdom. And the first thing, as Michael started talking, the first thing I thought of is teaching people to have more integrity, or having them check in with integrity. And so you might have encountered somebody who's not behaving with integrity. So it's, you're kind of having to set things straight. You know, it's one of those moments where you question yourself and say, whoa, wait a minute. This isn't acceptable. No, not in my world. And so that's the first thing I get with that. So you're really, as the Queen of Clubs there, you're standing up for what you believe in and with integrity in this situation. So good on you, Audra.
I like it.
Absolutely. Yeah, me too. So I guess Tracker is on Paramount Plus, Hulu, or CBS. Wendy checked it out. It's a good series, you guys. Yeah.
I hadn't heard of it. Interesting. I have so many things to watch. Here I am watching Sequest reruns, and I got other, good content to listen in on. But since we do have some more names, I went ahead and have another card. We have Dr. Donna next. And, for you, I have tonight wild card number 6, entropy. I feel like we pull this one a lot, too. But wild card number 6, entropy. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, which is low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, which is high entropy. Their energy stands still, and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to, again, take a new step towards renewal and rebirth. Thus, you lower your personal entropy. When a person seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that person lowers their personal entropy, and the world becomes a better place.
I got the Star. And I can't speak and swallow at the same time. Entropy and the Star. The first thing is, the Star is consciousness and water and thing going with the flow of life. And it's like your energy is changing, Donna. As your awareness expands, it's making sure that, you keep your energy in check. It's to stay grounded and sensible, at the same time being more awake and aware, self-observing, observing others, and even becoming a little more spiritual in a way, or philosophical, whatever it is that you are connecting with. So it's, a very typical thing is when you catch on to a new idea or philosophy is as the pendulum swings. Sometimes we can go too far out there. Mm. If it becomes too absorbing. And we have to bring ourselves back a little bit and kind of, how does this fit into my life? How does this make me a better human being? How can I use this in my life in a matter of conduct? And I think that's maybe kind of an expansion that's going on with you. And it's just kind of a, you know, a little nudge to say, you know, make sure that your energy is in sync with yourself and you'll be just great. But there's some new information coming to you with the star. That's for sure. Okay.
All right. We have Dr. Jeff as next card, but I think you want to shout out to Audra.
I do. Audra is saying, and even related, she's got two situations, but one at work about standing up with that integrity. And she said she may not be here for the next few weeks. She is going to be, she's lobbying for people at the next Portland Pride Parade next month. Mm-hmm. And it's Wednesdays from 5 to 8. So good for you, Audra.
The phone banks at the local ACLU. It's a great organization. It's the American Civil Liberties Union. So people that fight for, you know, personal liberty and rights and things like that. So it's a good organization, and it's good stuff. And
that's awesome, Audra.
Yeah. So we'll miss you, but it's a good cause. And okay, we have Dr. Jeff next, if I haven't missed my place with cards. And for you tonight, Dr. Jeff, I have lucky number 7, self-mastery. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness. That's a good card.
It is, and with Hierophant, it's saying, you know, staying close to home a little bit, Jeff, finding a new order, new rhythm, some conformities. You know, of course, you're in a healing phase right now. So, you know, that self-mastery is checking in with your well-being, getting some new ideas, but also not pushing yourself too far. So Hierophant is really about, you know, recentering, and it reflects so much of the home, right? And rhythm and routines and but I think you're already doing that. That's not new. You know, Shauna's got you eating better and you certainly have a sense of humor. Every Wednesday, Jeff does a video with a little bit of humor. And of course he's in his hospital bed. And for those who don't know, Jeff is blind outdoorsman for a reason, because he's lost most of his sight. And so he asked the surgeon, he said, when I get home, will I be able to play the piano? And the doctor said, sure, you can play the piano. He said, that's good, because I've never played piano in my life.
Smooth. That's smooth.
I thought that was pretty funny. But so Wendy is making a shout-out to Donna. She says, I hope you'll join us on our biannual card reflection. Your cards are the most interesting this first half of the year. So, and thanks for the feedback, Donna. She says that makes sense with some changes she's making. So, awesome.
I love it.
We have Wendy next.
All right. Wendy, our card keeper. Wendy, who sent me down a mini rabbit hole while I was live on air into who directed The Poltergeist. And did you know, Wendy, that the 1982 film The Poltergeist is officially directed by Tobe Hooper? However, it is debated because Steven Spielberg served as the writer, co-producer, and creative force, and most people like to say that he actually directed most of the movie himself. So, thank you for that. And, in return, I give you number 14. Let me get to that real quick. Number 14, energy shift, new chapter. Hope this card connects. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
Interesting that the King of Cups, King of Hearts, and I said, well, what's that about? Because that's generally about relationships, right? And then I got the Jack of Diamonds, so that Knight of Pentacles. There's something, as soon as Michael started talking, I started to get that you're getting some enthusiasm back, or let's say optimism. And your energy is picking up a little bit. And things are maybe in communication and understanding. I feel that you're calmer. Not that you weren't calm before. I'm just saying that connecting in new ways, maybe with your partner, your kids, and just a shift. And I also want to say it's kind of a natural rite of passage as a mother, a partner, and a woman learning about herself. But now you're thinking, you know what? I want to open this new chapter. I have to look at everything I have and look at everything I want to do. How do I want to make money? How do I want to move forward? So it's in a reevaluating, assessing, thinking time. And I think that's an awesome thing, because there's some new energy kind of spiraling around. That's cool.
Good. I like it.
It is cool.
All right.
I think that might be trying to. Yeah, I think that's all for cars, but I was just kind of looking through the chat to see if we missed anything. You're going to have to help me out here, Michael. I can't think, read, and talk all at the same time.
No, I know what you mean. No, we've been kind of just catching up on the conversation of what we've been talking about. I think we've kind of hit everything that's been going on. I've been scrolling through it a little bit. We got Wendy giving you some feedback, but I think it's mostly you there. But some changes coming up, Wendy. I appreciate you sharing that, and I'm hoping these cards hit right.
So, okay. Project, I had to look it up, Anchor.
Mm-hmm.
A viral social media hoax that originated on TikTok, I saw this one, that NASA was secretly running a multi-billion-dollar program called Project Anchor. The rumor falsely alleges that Earth will lose gravity for 7 seconds due to cross-gravitational waves, leading to tens of millions of casualties. Yeah, it's sometime in August. August thing. And I thought, are you guys nuts? I saw this. Why are people watching this? losing gravity for 7 seconds, we'll all be dead. It's just stupid.
Well, it depends. I mean, would everything just stop moving? Because, I mean, if it just shuts off for 7 seconds, everything's going to be kind of moving in the same direction anyway. So I think that we'd probably be just fine. And also, it's not going to happen anyway. So, but, August 12th.
Well, apparently this, I'm going to read this, Anchor is a landmark deep water oil and gas project operated by Chevron in the Gulf of Mexico. But thanks for bringing that up. I've come across these little videos and I thought, that's just bonkers. You know, like everybody predicting a date for something. But thanks for bringing that up, because I didn't know the name of it, and it's a real thing that people it's a gossipy real thing.
I mean, and it's a little fun too. I will tell you, if you haven't looked into the birds are fake movement, the birds aren't real movement, you should, because it's just wonderful. It's a masterclass in everything about humanity, because you have a student who's a sociology or a psychology student or something. But he wants to see how fast a viral idea can spread. So he starts up this, And it's all out in the open now. You can look it up. He starts at this rumor that birds aren't real. They're, you know, all the birds died off at some point, and now they're just drones from the government to spy on people.
Oh,
and,
gee.
You know, to see how quickly it would spread. And, yeah, it's...
I don't even know what to say when people say this stuff.
Well,
I don't know.
But, you know, and then, but on the other hand... a lot of times people will scroll by things and they say, how can this be true? You know, how can people believe this? I'm not saying it's true all the time, but a lot of times they don't believe it. It's actually just designed for clicks, for bait. It might be an experiment. It might be a gag. There's a comedian I know who talks about, he and a bunch of friends lived up in rural Idaho. And one thing, they had a town of 400 people and there was 10 kids their age around there, right? So they're just bored. But what they would do is they would get, these gorilla costumes because they'd have some folks come up to look for a Bigfoot. And so they would, walk around the forest in these gorilla costumes from time to time to try and get people. So again, and I'm not saying that there isn't a Bigfoot. I'm just saying that people absolutely do that kind of stuff. So, I get it. You want to trust people. And I do.
I know.
Not
you know,
trust
one
most
thing
people,
that,
but that being
always,
said.
Yeah. One thing that's always bugged me is, because, sometimes I have too much space in my brain to think, but for many years it's bugged me, how did the Europeans come over to North America and put up those buildings that fast? Come on. Without, we've got oxen and carts, horse and buggies, trains weren't even on yet, but you can build these mammoth buildings. So finally...
Wait, what are we talking about?
I'm just telling because I'm getting to my point here. Okay. I've wondered about how that could happen. Then I start seeing these reels that, and I put two and two and two together. They say that those buildings were already here and that, the land of the giants, as we all know, if you've done research, many bones were found of, beings 8, 9, 10, 12 feet tall. And I'll just saying giants, aliens. It could be. But they were very tall people. And again, in indigenous country, that's normal. I used to have, many years ago where I was living out in the country, a giant spirit. So I asked my indigenous friends. They said, the giants live here. So when I moved, I asked the giant if he wanted to come with me. And nope, he would have been moving out of his territory. And that was a no. I never saw him again. And I know that sounds bonkers to some people. I see dead people. What can I tell you? And so I thought, the giants. The giants... I have to weave this in because all of those bones, all those artifacts were sent to the Smithsonian. And at the turn of the 20th century, they were destroyed. They buried and destroyed all the evidence of giants. So in the great fair in the 1860s, I think it was, Chicago, wherever it was, they had all these mammoth buildings, and all they did was refurbish them. They painted them up, apparently. And again, I have to qualify with apparently. And invited all these people, and then everybody went home, and they tore these buildings down. Put them into the rivers, all the rock, cement, whatever, so that there's no evidence left of the giants. So looking deeper, apparently this happened a lot in Europe, that there were these mammoth buildings or castles that were already there. So when they talk about how it took hundreds of years to build that, what was the technology of the time and who did that? Who built the pyramids, really? Yeah. All those questions. So it started to make kind of sense that that's a possible, hypothetical theory of, and in my reality, that kind of would make sense to me because we are not the first civilization here for sure. So we're there. Yeah, and there's old stories in Indian country. There's old stories about how indigenous people, especially in the U.S., and the giants, some they didn't always get along, put it that way. And so there was territorial, you know, kind of issues. So, again, that's the stories that have been passed down through the generations within indigenous communities. So this is not new to indigenous people. So it's just more new to the general public, like aliens. So I just had to throw that in because, you know, and now I'm fascinated. And, of course, in the algorithms, once you watch one or two, they start coming up. And it's really fascinating. And, of course, a lot of them, I'm sure, are generated by AI. But nonetheless, it's the stories within there, within them. So, yeah. You know, I just thought I'd share that with you.
Well, I appreciate you sharing. It's and this is the kind of open-minded community where we can experiment with these kind of ideas. So yeah, I appreciate it. I've heard it too. But
yeah, well, if all the buildings were already there.
What buildings are we talking about? Like, what buildings in the new world, so to speak, are you referring to that were built so quickly?
Oh, a certain what seemed to be monolithic churches or cathedrals or,
in,
you know, buildings
North and South
with
America?
No, in the States.
Okay.
You know, that have these cathedral ceilings 20 feet tall.
Okay.
And, you know, with all the artwork up there. And
I have that many of those. I mean, but that being said, I mean, those are pretty recent. We have pretty good records on them, but I digress. I'm going to be...
You know, I've got to insert this, though, Michael, because, you know, with my indigenous friends, Chicago, they talked about and again, I'm talking decades ago, they would talk about how Chicago was a big marketplace for many tribes. It was actually like their own kind of town. And they knew about the giants. So, again, I'm putting all these kind of stories together that I've heard over the years and, you know, say, well, you know what? So what happened is the white man comes, dismantles that, and of course, you know, we can go on and on about what happened to North American Indians. But I just had to qualify that to explain that it's not new to me about giants and major trading areas for marketplaces with indigenous communities that existed here for thousands of years. And now DNA is proving what the old stories, indigenous stories, have been saying. Because, you know, white guy says, no, you've only been here a couple of hundred years. And they're saying, no, thousands of years.
Well, everybody knows they've been here tens, if not over 100,000 years. But
well, you know that now. But when I was young, that was not the case.
Well, but I mean, even you're young, maybe they were near tens of thousands of years. Well, at least thousands.
Michael, if you would have asked any white people 50 years ago, how long have indigenous people been here? They'd say, maybe 1,000 years.
All right. This is the first time hearing of it, and I know a lot of old white people. I'm not going to lie. Most of the folks I know are old white people, but this is the first time hearing of anything like that. But I digress.
You know,
I know we all have different, you know, lived experiences, so I don't want to detract anything.
And whatever
from that
is taught in schools or whatever, you know, your politics of the day is, you know, history is written by the conqueror, as we know.
To a degree, yeah. But then again, you know, a lot of things when it comes to history, when real historians, they know that people are exaggerating. They know that when, you know, Alexander has his writers follow him and write about his victories, it's propaganda. They know that Julius Caesar exaggerates. You know, they know that it's mostly bull, BS. But, you know, I will say, I appreciate bringing it up because these are things I hadn't really heard about before. Like, I'd heard about giants. And, you know me, I'm kind of a natural skeptic. But then again, I've also been wrong a lot, too. So, you know, that's why I like having these conversations.
Well, that's why it makes perfect sense that they, you know, white people came across, you know, these ancient civilizations and bones and let's use that building. You know, I'm just saying.
Okay.
I find it fascinating. It's either that or we had a glitch in the matrix and the timelines kind of boom. because I have always failed to believe that Europeans erected those mammoth cement concrete buildings.
Like skyscrapers? You know, I mean, what are we talking about? Like the Grand Union Central? Well, it's a food point. I digress.
No, you have to go back in some of the history in the 1800s and what kind of buildings were around in these cities. Not what's, you know, not looking at late 1800s or early 1900s. You have to go back before that.
Okay. Yeah.
And,
well, I mean, obviously, especially in the Southwest, you know, and there are a lot of part areas there were, you know, constructions that were, you know, either overgrown, not maintained, especially the further you get down to the... Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Especially the further you get down towards Central and South America, you know, through Mexico, throughout, you know, the area. It's the further north you get, the fewer permanent structures you seem to find. And I think it's because of the living with land. Oh, yeah, for sure. But I think it's also, you know, indicative of the cultures that are buried. Because the New World, you know, as I colloquially put it, the North and South America, as we call them, and I'd really love to know. I mean, I know that everything was so vast and there wasn't, you know, long communication lines, so there was no one term. But I'd love to know what they called their lands, you know, in terms of the continent and how they grouped things. These are things I don't know. I'm sure people do. I need to look it up, but it's always been fascinating. Well, pre-Columbian.
North America is Turtle Island.
That's an interesting one. I'm a big Stephen King fan, and of course, you know, living on the back of a turtle is a age-old thing. But which is another thing, you know, when it comes to, and I will say this, you know, I'm always going to be a bit more skeptical. I'm always going to be a bit of a, okay, maybe, but you know, I'm always going to be a doubting Thomas. That's my way, and you know, sometimes I might balk at things, but I don't ever want to discourage anybody from bringing ideas up because I love thinking about them, you know, and I love being exposed to them. So I genuinely, even, you know, if I don't agree and I know it comes across, but I genuinely do appreciate it coming up because, I mean, I hadn't really thought about this before. And now that I'm asking probing questions, I'm thinking about, okay, what structures are you talking about? So now I'm going to go and Google this and might find some stuff out.
And there are several grown over pyramids in North America. And I happen to know of some in the Canadian Rockies. I've seen them.
You know, there was a Mexican-American comedian that did a bit about how, you know, Mexicans are hard workers because everybody's debating who built the pyramids in Egypt, but nobody's debating who built the pyramids in Mexico. So, but I digress. I also will say, in my personal humble opinion, I think that every year that passes, they're coming out with new ideas about construction of the pyramids in terms of, I don't think we should rob humanity of, or those people that lived at the time, of the ingenuity to be able to do that, especially with what they're coming out with, a form of limestone concrete and how they can move massive blocks with manpower and different ways of doing it, and the building techniques that go back that far. Again, I'm not saying that it is, but I'm saying that I think we should be open to the possibility that it is man-made and that those people of that area, you know, did something magnificent and likely with just a whole ton of people dying, but, you know, still. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just saying. There's just all kinds of things that we don't know.
I'm going to be the Scully to your Mulder in this case, then.
That's okay. I don't mind at all.
Until we get further down the seasons and we realize that the alien bees are real. That's what I remember. It's been a long time since I've seen The X-Files. Do you know they're coming out with a new reboot of The X-Files?
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Coogler.
I'm
a
big excited.
Fan of his. I'm a huge Ryan Coogler fan, so I think that he's going to do good. So, it has been an interesting conversation.
Yes.
Wide range.
I've enjoyed tonight. It's great.
It's been fun. It's been good stuff. We've kind of covered a lot of ground, and it's been energetic. I've loved the back and forth. We've gone through the discussion about aliens, Disclosure Day, into indigenous mythologies, and, well, I'm sorry, I don't want to say it that way, but what's the right word to say, Dr. Vicky? Help me out here. The not stories? No, not the
Real
explanations.
Potential theories of giants in North America.
Fantastic wordsmithing. I like that. I appreciate you helping me out there.
Talk a little bit about Project Anchor.
There you go.
You know.
Yep.
It's a.
But
you know, we cover some ground, and I'm I'm always glad for Wednesday nights, you guys, and thanks for those who join us in the live chat. You know, it's fun. You make it also that more, much more interesting. And,
yeah.
And, fun thing about the Pacific Northwest, thanks to Audra, a lot of things are indigenous traditional names, such as the Umatilla, Clackamas, Chemeketa. That's right. We find that in Canada, we're adopting way more indigenous names. And instead of calling the Cree, they're Nahiowic, you know. Mm. And it's going back to their, or pardon me, they are the Nahiowic. And then there's, I have to brush up on some of my language here. I can't think at the moment. That's what happens when you're old. So there's different tribes restoring their original names.
Good. I like hearing it.
It's, you know, because that's who they are. It's not the white man name.
Well, as a white man, I'll say I like hearing it. I hope that they do come back. I'm always going to be a fan of things like Denali and getting back to some of these core places, because it is the history of this land. It's the history of our country. It's the history of Canada. And it needs to be remembered and respected and acknowledged.
Well, there are new maps online about who had what territory. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, the three original treaties of North America was, you have the Wampum Belt in the east. You have the Canes of Authority in the south. And then you have the Pipes in the west and north. And what those are is it's a symbol of a treaty that is joined by many tribes of that area. So again, we could get into the treaties of the whole world prior to, you know, people breaking old law. But it's suffice it to say that from there you get different cultures or different tribes living in different areas. And some of those names have been changed, but the name Chicago, that's an old indigenous name.
Most of the place names in North America.
Yeah, Mexico, so you know, we don't realize that they're indigenous names.
I think most folks
cool
do.
To know.
Well, I think I don't know. Alberta must be a weird place, because I mean, I grew up in the Dakotas too. But anyway, that being said, I've been resetting the outro music for like 5 minutes now. So
I'll say
you're fine.
We're all done.
I'll say that it has been a great discussion. But to prevent these kind folks from listening to hear me reset it every few seconds as we go through, I'm gonna say, hey, thank you so much. And Dr. Again, I'm gonna throw it to you for last thoughts.
Don't let them push you around out there, folks.
That's right.
Stay true to who you are.
Stay true to who you are. I love it. And can't wait to see you all next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.